sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline. Coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Yeah, Drew.
Yeah.
Got a little schnockered today, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, drank like a 12-pack of beer at about 2, 3 in the afternoon, maybe 4.
How the hell do you, like...
You don't completely bounce back from that, by the way. Yeah. Not completely,
no. It would take me like 3 days.
Oh, would?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you got to build up.
Of course.
I drank... I did this thing today for the Man Show called 100 Shots in 100 Minutes. And they're shots of beer, but it's still 100. And they're an ounce and a half a piece, you know? I mean, some are an ounce, some are 2 ounces.
Anybody blow?
Ounce plus. No, nobody blew. But when you look at 100 shot glasses, you know, and you're pretty toasted by about in the high 30s. You're starting to feel a pretty good buzz. There's a big difference drinking-wise between walking around Saturday night, 10:30, with a beer in your hand and a plate full of pot stickers and just getting toasted about 2 in the afternoon on a Monday. Yeah. You know, broad daylight kind of buzz?
Yeah.
Totally different vibe, by the way. I don't know. Drew, is there, do you have some sort of buzz clock in you?
Could be the cortisol cycles in the brain, maybe.
So, I mean...
You know,
here's what I'm saying.
States of intoxication are very much dependent on the anticipated effect. So you don't expect much out of this. You don't get much out of it.
Interesting. But I could remember, like, 2 beers after working all day, swinging a hammer, just sitting on a pile of 2x4s with the guys. Couple of beers, big buzz.
Yeah.
I mean, just feeling buzzed, especially when it's hot out and the sun's out. But, of course, a couple of beers that evening in front of the TV, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It'd be interesting to map that out.
How did you survive? Did you go to bed?
Yeah, I went home at like 4 in the afternoon, and I fell asleep for like 2 hours.
Ugh.
2-3 hours. And it's always, whenever I got something like this going, there's always something else. It can never be free and clear. You know, it's the maid's coming. You know, I get home at 4:15, the maid shows up at 4:30. You know, it just has to be.
Gardner's got the blowers going.
Yeah, I can hear her running around. Then I'm coming down the stairs, you know, in a towel with an erection. My hair looked like 1,000 seagulls cramped on it. I'm sweating profusely. It's 6:15 in the evening. I'm this reek of booze, you know. She must just think I'm dealing drugs. I don't think she has any idea what I do. She thinks some family member kicked off and left me the house, and I'm just slowly going through the inheritance or something because I'm napping every time she comes over, and half the time there's like empty bottles strewn about.
Of course, remember, you're scurrying downstairs to clean the laundry lest she find it. She must imagine you're laundering drugs or something.
I didn't get to the laundry today.
Oh,
yeah.
Did she shriek? That's what kept you awake. No, that's kept you thinking, oh, my God, what's in that hamper? Oh, my God.
But what?
The humanity.
What kind of person am I? And is everybody this way? Let me ask Anderson. He's a guy. And Brian is part guy, too. If you had a maid coming by and you had some laundry that was, it was more a crime scene than it was a hamper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, I'm not talking about hooker's blood. And, you know, whole clumps of fecal matter. But, I mean,
just
maybe
a step above.
A little male protein on there, hash mark or two. You know, maybe you blew your nose into a pair of underpants or something 3 days ago or whatever. Would you be able to sort of let your maid work on that free and clear without giving it a second thought? Or would you feel like you had to come in
there,
and cover your tracks
a little
bit? How
about lying there trying to get a nap and then, oh, my God, thinking what, oh,
that's
my God.
What happens to me.
No, mine would be all, like, clean and pressed, and it would already be folded. She'd never even see it. I'd do it myself.
You'd be a little freaky about somebody dealing with that crap.
And she'd never see it.
See, I'd like to be, in a way, the kind of person that just, no, hey, that's their job. I mean, I know people that are like, who cares? I pay her to come over and do the laundry. She does the laundry. I don't pay her to pass judgment or talk.
Those are the people that like call you out. I call you at the hotel to have the maids come and turn down their sheets. Those are the same people.
Yeah. I don't know. I think in a way it's more liberating to be that way. Just you pay somebody, who cares? Well, anyway, I got loaded, and I'm a little hungover now.
I was gonna say. By the way, brain's not working so good. Such as it is.
Brain's not working so good. And let me say this, Drew.
Yeah.
You know, everyone makes a big deal about driving drunk or operating heavy machinery or what have you. Hungover, you're no better. No better.
It's the same thing, basically. You're still intoxicated a little bit.
Well, okay, maybe I'm a little intoxicated, but my brain is worse than it was when I had the 12-pack in me.
Yeah, that's a good point.
My focus isn't so good. My head hurts a little bit. I'm driving. I can't, you know, oncoming headlights are looking a little blurry. It's a very good point, which is we make a huge deal out of who's driving drunk. But I'll tell you, you get someone who's drunk as opposed to someone who's massively hungover, it's a push.
You want to get even more sort of explicit about this. There's risk of seizure now. I mean, you're talking about someone in, hangover is withdrawal, right?
I don't know.
Somebody driving in withdrawal is...
You can have a seizure.
Yeah, really dangerous.
True. The hair of the dog that bit you, would I be better off with a beer in me right now? Is this withdrawal a little bit?
Yeah, but it's just... thing about withdrawal is each time you hit it, it boosts it up exponentially. So when you do come down, it's a lot worse.
So hair from the dog that bit you, not good?
It'll take care of your withdrawal now and leave you in a worse withdrawal later.
Well, but not one beer, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just something to take the edge off. Alex?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
I have a question for Dr. Drew. What is the average or normal size for a clitoris?
I don't know.
About the size of a cow's tongue?
Give me that anatomy book back there.
Oh, it's stuff some garlic through your drawer.
Oh, God almighty. Give me the anatomy book back there. That might have some data in it.
Drew, I'm hungover. I cannot look.
My God.
In a drawing. You smell it?
Oh, humanity.
I ate a bunch of garlic tonight. It's going to be coming out the other end, too, because I've been blowing gas all night,
good
too.
Time.
I'm a mess. Why? What size is yours, Alex?
I would say maybe an inch.
An inch?
Yeah.
That seems a little long.
But damn, bitch.
You're a chick, though, so you don't know size. You can't guesstimate anything.
Well, it's larger than I've seen in pictures and movies, so...
But there is a range of normal, certainly. Do you have any other masculine features? Any hair growth or anything of that sort?
No, nothing abnormal.
You don't take any hormones?
No.
Okay, because there are situations or conditions that can cause clitoral megaly, where you get like a little penis going. And things like taking anabolic or androgenic steroids can do that. But
no, I don't think any of that.
All right.
The other thing would be hormones being produced by tumors, like ovarian tumors, this adrenal tumors, but that's pretty rare. And you'd have other evidence of masculinization then.
You're fine, baby.
Is there any kind of plastic surgery that I could have done?
No. Who cares about this?
Well, it's
anyone say anything?
I find it weird, and I have a complex about it.
Yeah, always think in terms of guys wanting less work, less challenge.
I mean, what size do you think it's twice as big? Is there regular clitoris or clitoris? And could you nail a guy in the ass with it?
No, not at all, but it pokes out.
Would you see it if you were just standing there with your ankles together?
No, you can't see it. It's only when I get excited or turned on that gets larger.
Yeah, that's fine for guys. It's really, it's offended my sensibilities.
Can't talk about.
Let's just relax tonight, everybody.
I think most guys would consider it an advantage. Easier to find, easier to find, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like one of those oversized golf clubs or tennis rackets.
That's right.
That's what we like as guys. I mean, think about what we like as guys, you know? Like some big tires on our cars, like a big driver, big tennis racket, big boobs. What's wrong with the big clitoris, right?
Especially when it makes our work easier.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. Matt?
Hi.
15, what's up?
No, 15.
Okay, no 15. No.
When I was...
55?
No, no.
No, when I was 7, I had sex with my little brother.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my babysitter found this my dad's pornography, and me and my little brother had sex, and then, like,
I wanted to know if that
would have turned me gay.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah?
This is a horribly conceived prank call. Horribly.
No, it's not.
It's weak. It's weak.
How is it weak?
The content is there, but there's no feeling.
I would have
told
you more, but my phone's about to go dead. I'm trying to get this phone thing out. So.
There's no feeling to it at all. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, she let us watch it, with her, and then, like, later that night, me and my brother...
Hello?
Magic.
This guy... You know what's great? You know what I love about life? The guy's on hold for 20 minutes. He's on hold for 20 minutes. He gets to us. It's good for 43 seconds before his phone cuts.
But I think that was a convenient cutout.
No, no. His phone was clicking.
Yeah.
I think that was it. Yeah. You know what was wrong with that call for me is...
Lack of effort. He was sort of giggling about it.
Yeah, not only that, but he didn't dance around it either. Like, you know, when I was young.
Yeah, now I was feeling these thoughts.
No, I just went to, I was after my brother.
Yeah, I think that made me gay. Hey.
La-di-da. Mickey?
Yes.
You're 17?
That I am.
What's up?
Okay, can I ask something really quickly? Or say something really quickly?
Yeah.
Okay. Adam, I'm sorry to say this to you. I'm probably the first one to say this to you, but you should talk a lot less. Drew, you are a genius. You should make your own religion, not Adam.
Okay, well, he has. It's called Half Jew.
Thank you.
And, No, I've...
I'm used to be calling him an ass, man.
You know, so you know what he is. Hey, Mickey Mouth.
What?
No, I've had this said to me many times, but only by the program director.
Usually it's by the people that work here.
Never the people listen to the show, but the people that run the show express your same interests.
So what's up, Mickey? What up?
All right, long-time listener, first-time caller. All right, I know this girl since freshman year. I just finished junior year in high school, and it seems as if she's always going for, like, the assholes. I just got prank calls tonight.
Have you been obsessing about her since she was a freshman?
Yeah.
Oh, does she know you've been obsessing about her?
Kind of, yeah.
No. So this is your opportunity, Adam. This is where you could have spoken to you. See, you can make things right. Mickey
no.
is you.
I'm not interested in helping Mickey.
No, Adam, please, come on.
No, you help Mickey. Oh. Let the genius help you, Mickey. Go right ahead.
Oh, shoot.
Enjoy, buddy.
All right.
Let the sage come down from the mountain and share his wisdom with you, Mickey. Go ahead, Edgar.
You're gay. All right, so what's the situation with this girl? She's somebody that considers herself your friend?
I've done bio projects with her. I've done chemistry
projects
with her.
Does she have boyfriends? Does she have
calling all nerds.
Yes. Does she have boyfriends?
She's had previous boyfriends, yes.
And she doesn't have one now?
She just broke off like a month ago with him.
Okay, but you're the nice guy that's there when she gets all upset, when these guys treat her like crap.
I've brought her flowers when she's been sick. I've brought her flowers when her boyfriend dumped her.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Hey, Mickey, you said she prank called you?
It was her friends. She went out with a couple friends. She never calls. She never calls me.
And what did the call say?
It's always like a deadline. They're always talking about something else. And I never, like, can I talk to her? No. And they're always, like, going around the issue.
Did you understand any of that?
There's a deadline. He wants to talk to her. They say no. And they're going around the issue.
Like, I never can talk to her when there's other people around her.
Well, hold on. Let me clarify. You know when you sit weird on your cell phone and sometimes it hits the speed dial? By the way, have you gotten these messages?
What's that? Where just somebody's...
Well, people on their cell phones have 100 numbers punched into it.
Yeah.
And once in a while, the cell phone drops weird on the car, somebody sits on it, and your number gets dialed up, and you get a long message on your home phone.
Goes on for half an hour.
Which consists of two people driving and having a conversation. Now, one of these times, I know my name's going to come up. Someone's going to say he has a small dork and start laughing or say he's cheating on me or what an a-hole, and it's going to be horrible. I'm always waiting for that. That's why I have to listen for the whole message, because even though they didn't call me, I think maybe my name might come up somehow.
Scary.
I get those all the time, probably because our names start with A, so Drew, you don't get them? Is like in the beginning of the alphabet?
I don't have answering machines.
At home.
It sounds like the show, kind of.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that's what the show would sound like.
If we were listening. If anybody were listening.
If anyone is listening, yeah. You don't get that, Drew?
No. But let's try to get back to Mickey here.
How is it that you know
I don't have an answering
somehow
machine.
That I've done what I've done and then you don't do it? You don't know.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay, good. You don't have an answering machine at home?
I don't. This is my wife's.
Okay. I don't know. What's Mickey got to do?
Mickey is...
This is not a relationship.
But Mickey's really kind of lost.
Yeah. Well, that's tough. Hey, Mickey?
You're lost.
All right. that's enough.
But here's the deal. This is never going to be a relationship.
No.
He's wasting a lot of time and energy on this woman. Both Adam and I wish that someone had taken us aside and shaken us like an etch-a-sketch, as you would say.
I don't know, but what else are you doing in your life at 17?
Well, it may be developing real relationships. This is not what you think it is.
Yeah, but...
And she's kind of taking advantage of you, the fact that she lets you go on and on like this.
But look at it this way, Drew. Mm. I mean, I'm just going to play devil's advocate here for a second. When you're 16, 15 years old, 17 years old, you're in high school, it's like you're in prison. I was just in prison yesterday, so it's on my mind. You need things to get you through. You know what I mean? To keep you going.
Yeah, but that stuff is agonizing.
All right, according to your logic, people ought to dump Jesus, too. Because there's something that doesn't really exist that people cling on to and hang on to their whole life just to sort of get through it. Well, maybe you're just getting through. Maybe you're 16 years old and there's some girl you got a crush on, and maybe in the back of your mind you know you're never getting together and you know she doesn't really like you. I mean, didn't you know on some level? But maybe it helps you just get through your junior year. It's a pleasant distraction.
It's not.
Maybe you really don't want a relationship.
Well, there's something to that. But
thank you.
But it is still the obsessing and the preoccupying. It's agonizing. It's painful.
Right, but people do it with bands. People do it with celebrities.
Well,
people
do
it with TV shows. You know what I mean?
It's a way of dealing with more difficult feelings. But really, it's a way of just expressing depression, frankly.
But look at us, Drew. I mean, we talk that young girls, all the time, get it bad for some band, some celebrity. Somebody
but,
like that.
But most women keep
and they
their
put
sort
a poster
of,
up and they kind of think about them a
but,
lot.
But
and
most
they
women
fantasize.
Kind of keep their balance. I think guys get like stalking mentality. They're like, you know, stalking a prey.
Yeah.
And they really get into it. It's unfortunate. It's unhealthy. It's not good for them. You need to have real relationships with people who actually care about you and accept reality in reality's terms.
All right, then. Pete?
Yeah?
17?
Oh, yeah.
What's up?
Oh, well, like, about like, I'd say like 6 months ago, something like that. Like, me and my friends, like, had kind of this party thing that was going on, and we had, like, a lot of liquor, you know, and all that stuff. And there was this one girl that I was with.
Yeah.
Well, I was actually with her. She was just like,
oh,
wait,
what? Yeah, right.
Yeah, and then she was, like, with us, and so, you know, she started drinking. She got, like, kind of drunk. So I started, like, putting the move on her, you know, and stuff like that. And so then I was drunk, too, you know. Mm-hmm. So then I was, like, you know, like started kissing her and maybe doing stuff I shouldn't have or something, you know. And so,
like what?
Like doing stuff I shouldn't have, you know.
Shouldn't have.
So,
yeah. Whoa. Doing something I shouldn't have.
Pete, you could never work in radio.
Wait, what?
Yeah, keep going.
It really sounded like the S word.
Play that back.
I shouldn't have.
Yeah. I know.
Shouldn't have.
But Pete's like, in doing stuff I shouldn't have. It's like, wow. What was that? Shouldn't have.
I know. And we have the temerity to go, would you say that again, please?
Okay.
So, line two.
Yeah.
Well.
All right, so you were doing stuff to her.
It was like the same night of a school dance, you know, so we all go to the school dance, like, you know, drunk. Because I've been there drunk before.
Oh,
like,
okay.
You know, so we all go to the dance, you know, and then I'm like in there, and then my friend Pat tells me that, you know, man, that girl got taken away in the ambulance, man. And so I was kind of like, you know, tripping about it. And then, like, I got caught and all that. So then, like, I walk in and she was like, you know, got taken away by the ambulance and all that. And like I got suspended and all that dumb stuff, you know.
Oof.
And so the girl, I don't know if the girl was mad at me about it.
Why'd you get caught?
Because, like, I don't know, I was just sitting out talking to my friend, and the principal walks up, he's like, and he, like, says my name, and he's like, hey, come with me, and I walked off, and I was about to run off, you know?
He was loaded, too, see?
And then so, yeah, I was, like, drunk, and then I walk in there, and yeah, it was kind of bad, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Sounds like a bad time.
Well, that's a lovely tale, Pete.
Yeah, so I don't know if I should maybe go out with this girl or not. Like, I was kind of thinking about maybe, like, you know, like trying to get with her or something, but...
Well, if she's someone you like, it's, you know, I think it's reasonable to make contact with her again.
Do you like her?
Well, yeah, and she was, like, you know, she's, like, pretty hot, you know, too.
Okay.
And, you know, and she was kind of coming on to me, too, you know, so then, you know...
Oh, right.
It was like, yeah.
Yeah, no. She's into Pete.
Well, it's kind of like he was doing some stuff he shouldn't have.
Really sounded like you're saying the S word there.
What was that?
I don't know what that was. I was waiting for him to say something to start with an F, so it sounded like the F word. I said, did Pete have a question, or are we done with
that? Should he contact this girl again? I say fine. I'm not the greatest couple on earth, but
Yeah, have some nice alcoholic kids. George? Gord? What the hell?
Jorge?
Oh, is that Jorge?
It's Jorge Posada.
Oh, that's Jorge. Oh, all right.
What am I talking to Adam Corona?
Oh, boy.
You're so lucky I'm hungover. I would have hung up on you 10 seconds ago.
No, it's all good, man. You guys are really cool.
All right,
yeah,
Jorge.
Yeah, I can't believe you look so thin, Adam. I always imagined you'd be like the pudgy one, you know, and Drew to be kind of like the skinny, studious one.
Where'd we meet? Oh, you saw me on TV?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw you on, Politically Incorrect with Bill Moyer. That was funny.
Yeah. He's great, that Bill Moyer.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of a question for Dr. Drew. It's kind of weird, but during a week, like Monday through Friday, I can totally control my urges and, you know, put off masturbation and all that. But once it gets to the weekends, like, you know, right past 12 p.m. on Friday night.
Just game on, huh?
Yeah. It just like, exposed. I get this kind of, like, irritation. It's kind of like shaking. I just got to do it, you know?
Shit.
I can't stop it. And like,
I thought, you know what I pictured? I pictured Elvis breaking into a song from some bad 60s movie where he played a stunt car driver or something. Yeah. I get this irritation, and I start shaking it. I was ready to like pick up a guitar and start going. You know what I always liked about that is everyone around him seemed to know the song, too.
Oh, sure.
Mechanics pick up a couple of wrenches and start tapping it out on an oil drum. So, Jorge, why don't you just beat off on Wednesdays, too?
But see, here's the thing, okay? I'm trying to beat it. I'm trying to, you know, beat the, you know, this is kind of like an addiction. I'm trying to beat it, but I can beat it through the week, but I can't seem to stop it on the weekend.
It seems like
I think
this
maybe
is really good.
I have all this time on my hands.
No, that's part of it, but it's like dieting. I'm not going to eat, but when you do eat, it's game on.
Yeah. Also, rhythmically, we started the show by talking about this with the booze. There's certain times, certain things. Put it this way. I get home from the radio show. I'm dying for a cigarette. I wake up at 8 in the morning, go to work. I don't even know what a cigarette is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, don't you get that way?
Yeah.
And it's obviously
cues.
Yeah, this way, because like you may love brisket, but you don't want to eat it at 6:30 in the morning.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So maybe this is this way with his dork.
I think he's suppressing it all week, and then it just comes barreling out in the weekends.
I want to know why he wants to stop.
Right.
Okay. But see, here's
why do you want to stop?
Well, I mean, because, like, if I can beat it, it's just like any other addiction, you know?
No. No. Okay.
No.
If you are addicted, which I don't believe you are, then you should deal with it like any other addiction. And addictions have nothing to do with control. You need to go to AA and admit you're completely powerless over this behavior.
Yeah, well, look,
see how that
goes. He's not addicted to anything.
I know he's not.
25-year-old guy doesn't beat off all week. I'll tell you, if I was part of some experiment where they paid me $1,000 a week when I was 25, I wouldn't have been able to withhold.
Yeah.
All right, Drew, let's eat some candy.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got those Baby Ruth bars
here.
All
right, I'm ready.
All right, we'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam. It's Drew. Let's hop back on those phones, Drew. Spread some love around, huh?
Yeah, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
You too, buddy. Hey, Unwritten Law's coming in here tomorrow night.
Cool.
Haven't seen those guys in...
6 months?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oops. Okay. I pressed the wrong button.
That's it.
Mitchell?
Yeah.
Yeah, 16, what's up?
Hey, you know how kids go through the stage where they have to masturbate all the time?
Kids?
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you get older and go through puberty and stuff like that.
And then grow old, get gray, and...
Yeah, well, you know what I'm talking about. And yeah. I went through the stage where you have to masturbate, like, every day, sort of, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, when you were young.
Yeah, and, like, the first time it goes to, like, you know, your highest peak, and it's, like, the biggest excitement, you know, and... that you've ever had, and then after a while, you don't get to that high peak anymore, and it's not a big thrill.
Mm-hmm. I think some of that is that you're doing it so much.
Yeah.
Give yourself a 2 or 3 day break, and you'll be built back up again like the first time.
You'll be climbing that mountain again.
But I just thought, would it be that same way with sex?
No. Interesting thought.
Drew, when's the last time you scaled that peak? I mean, look, it's that way with life. I got news for you. Let me give you an example, Mitchell.
Yeah?
Remember when you were 8 years old and Christmas would roll around?
Yeah.
You'd be counting the days.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. 3 weeks till Christmas. Ooh, they're showing Bambi on TV and Frosty the Snowman and the Grinch. And
that was our day.
All right. But they're still showing it. They showed that when you were a kid, right, Mitchell?
Yeah.
And you couldn't sleep that night. Remember you couldn't sleep that night?
Yeah, waiting for Santa Claus.
You'd be up at 6:30 in the morning, be waking your parents up. Come on, come on, come on. Let's get down to that tree.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that way anymore, is it?
No.
It's not bad, but it's okay. You ain't getting up at 6 in the morning running downstairs. And, Drew, now what do you like? Your kids come and try to wake you up at 6:30 in the morning. You're like, oh, for Christ's sake, give Daddy another half hour over here, huh?
Yeah.
Cut him some slack. If you had it, if it was up to you, you'd do it about noon.
Oh, yeah.
You get up, have some eggs. You'd step right over the presents, get your cup of coffee, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, this is what happens in life. Everything goes bad. But then you discover drugs.
Oh, geez.
And that becomes your Christmas. Heroin becomes your new Christmas. Do you understand, Mitchell?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, that's the important thing.
All right. So, Mitchell, listen. Give yourself a few days break.
Heroin and twisted pornography.
Here's the great thing about males. They reset. That you can overdo it, give them a few days break, back again. All the way back.
Well, this is what happens, too, though. You meet a new woman, and it becomes like Christmas. The early years of Christmas.
It's a little different
again.
Because guys actually biologically need diversity.
Yeah.
Masturbation is something they don't need to diversify from.
Right. Right. But I'm right with my Christmas analogy, right? You lose a little steam with everything.
Well, but you imply as though it's because you've experienced so much, when in fact it's just the biology.
You're just tired. You want to die.
Right.
But let me tell you something. The highs aren't so high, but the lows aren't so low anymore either.
Uh-huh.
You just kind of start riding that center rail. Jared?
Yeah.
What's up, buddy?
Man. Adam, you're a genius and
my
hero and everything, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Everything.
Thank you.
Well, Adam, you know, you come up with all these genius ideas, man. Like
that's right.
Masturbation casts, man. I broke my arm and in the cast, it just doesn't work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see why you ever go through with any of
that. Did I come up with the masturbation cast?
I remember you talking about that one time.
It's like specially fit for when you break your arm or something, so you can still masturbate.
That doesn't sound that smart.
Vagicast.
Because, you know,
maybe it's got a hole in it.
Right.
Oh, I see,
I see. It's like specially formed.
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah.
That's different.
That's exactly my point,
that's
man.
Different.
How come? Drew, let me ask you a quick question here. How come whenever somebody repeats one of my ideas back to me, it sounds lamer than S, and then I figure out what I was saying?
It sounds like hell, and then you think, oh, that's mine, and then it's okay again.
No, it still sounded like hell, and then I figure it out, and then I realize their description is always less flattering than the actual idea.
If we had spoken to you at 16, you would not have been able to communicate any of your ideas either. You know what I'm saying?
I would have called it a Vagicast, though. Jared?
That's my name.
Yeah.
And I would not have called it that.
Yeah, but look, if you could come up with it now, I would have come up with that name at 16.
Yeah, point well taken.
Thank you, Jared.
You should make that, man.
Okay, the Vagicast. And what else did I come up with that I can't remember?
The Beriata.
The what?
The Beriata.
Oh, that's the pinata filled with beer.
Yeah, man, and like, you got the masturbation apparel for easy access.
Jeez. There's something wrong with me, Drew. 38 years old.
Jared, why don't you develop a catalog?
You should.
You do it.
I will.
Send it to Ann Engold, care of Loveline.
Yeah, write this down so I can remember all this.
Real quick, I'm going.
What's the address here? What Ann?
No, this is never going to work.
New mailing address.
She's not giving a mailing address
out. For the K-Rock. Go ahead, Ann.
All right, put him on hold. We don't want to give it out on air.
What's wrong with a mailing address for the radio station?
I'm going to start getting letters and stuff. Don't you talk to enough a-holes tonight, Drew, and I got to start getting letters?
Well, hey, Tara, don't call me Katara, goddammit. Don't give
P.O. Box 4345, Hollywood, California, 90078.
P.O. Box 4345, Hollywood, California, 90078?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Now you're going to get a letter.
Okay. Maybe Scientology will find you again.
We try to keep a low profile. You know what I was thinking about the other night, Ann, and Drew, and everybody? I was thinking about when we do those, once a year we go to the Museum of Radio and Television and do a live report, and so do a lot of other broadcasters around the L.A. area. I guess it's nice that they ask you. It means you've arrived a little bit.
Most broadcasters make a big deal, announce it.
Most people announce it for the 3 weeks leading up to their show. So when they show up at the Television and Radio Museum, there's 100 people in the crowd. We don't mention anything. And then we show up and there's 11 people sitting there. And I'm curious as to how they found out about it, and usually over the internet or something like that. But is there anybody else who does that? And somebody has to tell the director of the Radio and Television Museum over there, or Television and Radio Museum, because we must just look weak. We just must look like hell, because nobody shows up at our thing, and then it dawns on me we never mention it. And I drive around during the day hearing everyone else plugging their appearance on it. But it's the same with the faxes and the emails. We don't want to hear from you. You know, everyone says we want to hear from you. That's BS. They don't want to hear from you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Thank you. Josh?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't want to hear from you.
Nope. Okay. I want to hear from you.
Go ahead, Josh.
All right. Okay, about 2 months ago, me and my girlfriend were at her mom's house, and her mom's kind of paranoid, so she makes us keep the door open. And she was wanting to fool around, and I was like, no, we can't do this. The door's open. And she's like, okay, we can do it. It's fine. Eventually, she convinced me, and we're making out for about 15 minutes, and then... So she goes down on me and...
With the door open?
Yes, yeah, I know, it's insane, but...
Mm-hmm.
But, and within the 5 or 10 minutes where she was going down on me, or however long it was, her little brother was about 4 or 5, walked by and saw us. We did not know until about 2 days later when, her mom confronted her and said he had said while he in the bathtub that he had walked by and saw Amy sucking Josh's pee-pee. And so I just kind of wanted to know what the effects on this little boy would be. And I also needed to know, since her mom hates me now, how I need to handle it. Because I don't want her to hate me. I need to talk to her. I need to resolve this, but I don't know how.
Hang on a second.
No?
No,
because he used his girlfriend's name? Or because he said pee-pee.
The pee-pee and sucking the pee-pee. That's how a 3 or 4 year old would perceive all that. And then he did a lot of back paddling. You notice that? I don't want her to hate me because I need her not to hate me. And I don't know how to handle it. I'm just...
He did a lot of back selling.
Yeah, back selling. Exactly.
He was really laying it out to make sure that we didn't say, like we do with most bogus calls, well, what's the question? Exactly. Why are you calling without making an announcement? He made sure and slide all that stuff in there up front. A lot of exposition up front.
For the fact that there was a question. Instead of selling the fact that they're... No, I really need to know. I need to know what to do. I need not to hate me.
Well, I stumbled on the sucking the pee-pee part two. A girl... Yes, I agree. A four-year-old most likely would say that her head was in his lap.
No.
To say kissing.
I saw his pee-pee or something.
But if it was in his... If it was in the sister's mouth...
When we actually had a 9-year-old call one time that walked in... It was about an 11-year-old. She walked in her parents, and it was so difficult for her to understand it. She said, my dad had a popsicle, and my mom was sucking on it. Like, she couldn't...
Wait a minute. Age 11?
Or maybe it was 10. But it was somebody...
10.
But it was before, well before puberty, and it was someone trying to comprehend what they had just seen.
Drew, you want to know what's funny about you and this junk? It remains 2 years older than your children, or a year older than your children.
At all times.
5 years ago, when your kids were 5, then the caller was age 6.
7, yeah, she's 7 now.
And 5 years from now, when your kids are 15, the caller's going to be 17. And in the future, they'll be in their 40s eventually.
Of course.
Are you high, Drew? When you're 10 years old, look, when I was 10, I would have said, Dad's effing mommy. I mean, I would have said the F word.
It was an Asian girl, and she couldn't understand these things, and was trying to make sense of it. And that's about the way a 4-year-old would deal with it. Like,
you might say sucking at 4 years old.
You might suck a lot of lollipops. Well, yeah, right. Was there a popsicle in his lap? They're trying to make sense of things they saw. They do it in terms of things they know.
All right, Josh.
Yeah. Hey. Okay. This is not a bogus call. I'm totally serious. I want to know some answers, because I know it may sound like a bogus call, but I am not messing you at all. I'm totally serious about this.
Mm. It's that was semi-convincing.
It's a serious enough thing.
All right. But it really, you agreed to a BJ with the door open while the younger brother is taking a bath up the hall. The kid just got out of the bath. He was taking a bath himself at age four.
No, that's when he told his mom. My girlfriend told me. I didn't say her name, but that's because that's how the story.
Your girlfriend's giving you a BJ with her kid brother and mom just wandering about the house?
Yes, and she's like, oh, I can hear him coming up the stairs. And she went on for about 10 minutes trying to convince me that it's going to be okay.
Is something up with your girlfriend
what
in general?
What a dynamite lady, yeah. By the way. Jesus.
Yes, she is. But,
All right, listen. Look, this happens. I wish this happened to me when I was 17 because it would have meant I would have gotten a BJ.
Right.
So here's the thing. I don't think you're going to have a sit-down with mom about this.
This has got to just kind of blow over, if you will.
Yeah, this is between your girl, Amy, and her mom. And they'll just work it out.
Amy set this up for some reason. That's what's kind of bizarre about it.
What do you mean?
She set up the being cop.
I know that's always our theory, but, you know, chicks are stupid.
All right, but now, so he needs to be the mom's friend.
No, I don't buy that.
Yeah.
Who the hell wants to talk? Listen, at 17, you don't want to talk to a chick over 19.
And now what do they do with the little kid that's walked in on this?
Nothing. Oh, Drew, stop. The kid didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah.
It's all right. I mean, look, put it this way, Drew. Historically, haven't millions and billions of kids? I mean, people used to live in huts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mom, dad's balls were probably smacking the kid in the head while he was trying to sleep a million years ago. Right? I mean, and they didn't have upstairs, downstairs,
right?
All that kind of stuff. People are, you know, it's not the world's healthiest thing, but I don't think it destroys your mind. Frank?
Yes.
You're 17?
Yes, I am.
You want to know if it's wrong to videotape yourself having sex and masturbate to it?
Yep.
No.
No?
Makes sense to me. Who are you having sex with?
Oh, no one. It was just kind of a question.
All right. There you go.
Well, what about... to me, it's not for you. It should be answered by the person you're videotaping.
Okay.
Right?
Do they know you're videotaping them?
All right. Say they don't.
You'd say?
I'd say let's say they don't.
Okay. Yeah. Let's say
all right. That's wrong.
But you're just dreaming up a fantasy you'd like to try to enact. Is that
it just came up in conversation.
All right. All. You shouldn't videotape somebody without telling them. That's
all right.
Not only would I say it's wrong to videotape somebody without telling them, but it's probably wrong to videotape someone when you're telling them at age, you know, nailing some 16-year-old chick.
Yeah, if you're, yeah. I mean, that's against the law.
Well, is it?
In most states.
Is it?
Yeah, no matter what age you are.
Why? You're not distributing it.
No, you're documenting yourself breaking the law.
A 16-year-old and a 17-year-old?
In many states, yeah.
That's against the law?
In many states. The age doesn't specify what the male is in many states. The male could be 13 with a 16-year-old and still be breaking the law.
Really?
Yeah. That's some states. California was like that for a while.
It was?
Yeah.
It's not some now. States.
Yeah.
Okay, but even if you're not breaking that law, it's a little weird.
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
God's laws are being broken.
I've talked about this with Drew. Who doesn't? What family doesn't have a video camera?
Hmm.
What family? Mm-hmm. Is there a family in America that does not have a video camera other than my dad and my mom and my grandma? The Corollas. Is there a family that doesn't have a video camera? And by the way, at age 16 or 17, if you had a girlfriend, and that video camera's just sort of sitting on your parents' dresser, or on the coffee table.
Think about you and your jackhole friends. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You would have been videotaping, you know, whoever the most active one was.
Yeah. That can't even think about it.
Oh, then you would have been selling them.
As it is.
You would have been selling them on the internet.
I was using a courtroom sketch artist. That was the technology we had. Everyone's drew my ass in pastels. You know, it's a weird thing. All right, hold on. We got to go to break. But isn't it weird that when you watch the news and they show the big trial where the cameras weren't allowed inside, mm-hmm. so they show the sketch of what the camera would have shown you if the camera was allowed, but we couldn't actually do that? Right. Doesn't that seem sort of ridiculous?
Yes, why not bring the camera?
I mean, everybody, just think about it. It's like, cameras? No, not allowed. It's like saying, this is a top secret military installation. There'll be no cameras permitted in here. But here's a number two pencil and a scratch pad. You go ahead and draw what you see.
Take some notes.
You take some notes, but you can't actually take a photograph. So then you end up looking at a picture of a drawing, essentially, a rendering of what went on in the courtroom. That's kind of a weird thing that people don't think about enough, is it?
I agree.
Okay.
Like many things.
We'll take a little break.
So you're saying do more mushrooms.
Yeah. Now, see, if I was high on mushrooms and I saw it, I would freak out, man. Freak out, baby. You know what I'm saying, Daddy-O?
Freak out.
We'll be back. Hey, everybody, love line. So I was at this prison yesterday.
Yeah.
It's maximum security prison.
Mm-hmm.
And one part I didn't tell you about that maximum security prison is they got some American Indians there.
You mentioned that they had their little shrine set up or something.
Yeah. But it's really the size of a kitty box.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the size of a litter box, and it has Constantine wire around it, and it's a high fence, you know.
And what's the Constantine wire?
That's a razor wire.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like one cactus sitting in the middle of a bunch of dirt. And a big fence around it. And there's like eight American Indians are standing on it. It's like,
Did you convene with them?
I thought one of them would like fire a chivero at me or something. Chivero. That's a makeshift prison arrow. I was communicating with my Native American brethren. But what do you think? You think while the other prisoners are trying to make knives and zip guns in shop, that the American Indians are making tomahawks and arrows? Or do you think they would make just a regular shiv?
Regular shiv.
Okay. That's a good question. I wish I'd brought up. Anyway, it's just funny when somebody is worshiping in prison.
Yeah.
It's always a little bit weird. Like, you because of your religion, they give you this little patch of ground to have as your own that the other prisoners don't have, but it's covered with barbed wire and fencing and electrified stuff, and you're just sitting there staring at a dead cactus. Somehow holy land, but it's 8 feet by 8 feet. Yeah, it's good times, good times. Sarah?
Yeah?
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I just got out of a relationship, like, recently with the guy I'd been with, like, for 2 years, but he was kind of psychotic, and it's been, like, a month and a half, but I'm dating 5 guys right now.
5 guys?
Good times.
Yeah.
You couldn't just date one fat guy?
I'm dating
she's dating one fat guy. She is, yeah, see?
Oh, out of the 5?
Yeah, one's fat.
Hey, that's nice. Are you giving him sex?
One of them, I am.
The other 4, no.
No.
Okay. Not the fat guy, right?
Well, kind of. Yeah, well, I'm having sex with the fat guy.
Hold on a second. You're dating 5 guys. One of them's a fat guy.
He's not that fat, though.
Well, fat guy plays for the Broncos, all right?
You just called him fat.
Well, he's big.
Well, is he fat or is he big?
He's big.
All right, what's the question?
All right.
The question is, I need to know, like, if it's healthy for me to, like, just because I got out of the relationship with a psychotic guy, for me to be dating a bunch of other guys.
It's the same thing. When you're with a guy that's unavailable and a pain in the ass, you can never get close. And you're with a bunch of guys, you never get close. And the being with a bunch of guys sort of gratifies you. It makes you feel attractive and good about yourself. And
sending me flowers.
And you get to get back at guys this way, too, because they can't get you after all, because you have all these different guys as a way of sort of keeping yourself out of any kind of real relationship. It's a rebound. It's all right. Whatever. Yeah. You may one day find this very unfulfilling.
Very unfulfilling. Well, right now, I'm kind of disturbed.
Give up the cigarettes.
What?
Are you smoking?
No, not right now.
Okay.
All right, listen, Toots. If you don't like what you're doing, then stop it.
I'm enjoying it. It's fun.
All right, then shut up. Stop calling me. Look, I'm dating a guy. She calls him fat. No, he's not fat. She's kind of disturbed by what she's doing. And then I say, look, so if you don't like what you're doing, don't do it. No, I'm having fun. This is great. Okay.
Mm.
Then why are you calling?
Mm.
Everything's great. You're having a good time. Enjoy. Dusty?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
Dusty, huh?
Yeah.
That's your real name?
Uh-huh.
Good times. Uncircumcised?
Yeah.
What percentage of guys named Dusty are uncircumcised, Drew? I gotta believe they're in the minority.
No, they could be pretty high. Certain amount of compensation in that name.
Yeah, but, oh, you mean Dusty Flower Child?
Yeah.
Hmm.
We gotta go to break here.
Yeah, you want to get your foreskin cut off?
No. Oh, I just want to know how to get rid of it without going to a doctor.
Oh, just get rid of it. Okay.
Well. Oh, you don't. But you don't want to get it cut off. You just want to wish it into the cornfield.
No, it's foreskin disposal. We'll talk about it.
Well, you have to get circumcised, Dusty, if you want to get rid of your foreskin.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, but you don't want it. I'll tell you what to do. Just peel it back.
Well, what did you figure you were going to do?
Keep it back.
It's already grown together.
Oh. He's got stenosis at the end. You got to see a doctor, Dusty.
Well, what would happen if I didn't?
If you didn't, you're going to have trouble getting the head of the penis out of there, and you no way to get your foreskin off.
Yes, your penis is going to get dusty because you'll not get any sex.
There's no way to get the foreskin off without the circumcision.
Okay, go to the doctor, Dusty. We'll be back. Yeah! Oh, yeah!
Woo! Why do you do it,
man? Oh,
especially now, we have another hour of this.
Man. Hey, watch it there, Drew.
Sam Ascus.
I'll drop trowel right now. Yeah, drop trowel. Drop trowel. I'll drop trowel right now. Drop trowel, Whew. I can tell you, Drew, but I have to kill you. Oh, man. Tell you, I was with some... I'm not ashamed to have been with some ugly chicks, you know. And next morning, I chew your arm off and get out of there. You know, like a coyote dropping trowel. Yeah, dude.
Oh, man. When you talk about that, I don't even know you, man.
Man, you seen your friend's pecker, man? That's gay, man. Whoa, I don't know about that, man. I like those radio guys who pretend. Radio's so horrible. It's so full of horrible people. Really is. No more mediocre talent than in radio.
The guys who pretend what?
It's always the two dude shows where the two guys are sitting there.
Yeah.
And like the one guy goes, I was at the Y, and I just got done working out, and I saw this dude walking by, and he was, like, uncircumcised, and I thought, whoa, too much information, too much, hey, dude, and then the guy goes, no, seriously, but, you know, have you ever seen an uncircumcised penis? Sorry, dude, I don't check out other guys' junk, all right, man? That's not my style, man. Woo! Too much info. What do you do? Just dropping trowel and checking out everyone's junk everywhere, man? What are you, gay?
And your point?
Oh. My point is you can... I know what all my friends' penises look like. Every single one of them, by the way. And only bi, not gay.
Wait. So you like these radio shows?
I hate those dicks.
Two guy radio shows because they talk about penises?
Because they pretend to be...
Who they are
when they're not. Yeah. Lots of dudes and guys and bros and dropping trout.
Hey, but I remember when we were growing up.
Lots
of doobies and paraquats and smoking out.
That was better. Yeah. Hey, I'd like to tell you what I did this weekend, man, but I can't remember. Oh, man. Oh, wait a minute. I came in here drunk that night. Yeah, okay. That's a good point, Drew.
Speaking of which.
Jonathan?
Yes?
You're 20?
Yes.
You've been in recovery. Why is recovery 28 days? Why not 27 or 37 or some other random number?
Yeah.
It's a good question. True?
There really is nothing magical about 28 days. Some of the original models for treatment were designed around a four-week program, which was just sort of felt that that's what was needed to get through the kinds of cognitive, the informational elements in treatment that give the brain sufficient time to sort of settle down so some of the symptoms of withdrawal and the post-withdrawal effects are gone. And it can take a while. Now, I think most people would say that 28 days is not nearly enough. It's more like 3 months, 6 months these days, but very few insurance companies pay for more than about 7 days. So it really ends up being for an acute medic for medical inpatient type hospitalization for addiction. Ends up most places being like 7 to 10 days.
Well, what about just habits in general? Is there any magic number for forming a habit?
For forming a habit?
Well, unforming the same thing, just like breaking a habit. Or
no, because this is a highly specific biological phenomenon, addiction.
Well, all different things take different amounts of time with different people, right?
Different drugs. It's actually remarkable how reproducible addiction is human to human to human. The different drugs sometimes have different effects, and different syndromes create different periods of need for treatment.
Yeah, but for alcohol, doesn't it vary with people? I mean, or there's at least a few different categories.
Yes, there are a few different categories.
All right. Well,
but within those categories, it's pretty consistent.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk. What do you get hooked on the fastest? Heroin? Crack?
Crack.
Crack's the fastest?
Mm-hmm. Smoke and crack would be the quickest.
And what's second? Heroin?
Actually, pot.
Coke?
No, pot. When people are going to get addicted to pot, it's a pow. It's now. The brain gets primed to it. Then around the third time, it's like, oh, my God, I love this stuff. And that's it. You're in.
But then you don't really know you have a problem for 5 years.
That's true. But you don't stop for 5 years either.
Good times. Kayla?
Yes.
You're 29?
Yeah.
What's up?
Is this thing I was talking to people, I called in to ask, I abstain from sex, and the guys that ask me out always tell them up front, I don't believe in kissing or sex before marriage, and they always say, well, you go for oral sex, right? Because oral sex isn't sex.
Let me make sure I heard this right. You don't believe in kissing or sex?
Or sex, yeah.
No kissing before marriage?
Yeah. Because I think kissing's very intimate.
Uh-oh.
You're 29?
Yes.
What's up? You big gal?
What?
You big gal? No.
No.
No, but listen, as we've learned on this show time and time again, 190 pounds and 5'4 is not considered big by a lot of our callers. And Drew,
yeah.
I know we're talking about this last night. I'm going to get back to Kayla on this in 1 second, but Drew and I... We don't want to sound like snobs or L.A. a-holes, but we talked to a lot of females on this show. I like say, look, are you a big gal? And they're like,
no.
But, you know, I mean, I'm not petite. I'm 185. And I'm like,
I'm 185.
That's a big girl. I mean, we talked to a girl last night who was, you know, she was 5'5 and 5'7 and 180 and labeled herself as sort of sturdy. But, you know, not an issue. Let me tell you something, ladies. 180 for a lot of guys, that's an issue. Okay? Right. How do you get 180 and not and at 5'5 and not look at yourself as a little bigger than medium? That's all I'm saying. All right, Kayla?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? You got to be a little bit nuts. You have to be a little nutty. What happened? Were you molested?
Oh, a long time ago, yeah.
Oh, there we go. Shocking.
I'm Kreskin.
Yeah, Adam, what a random question. How could that possibly have anything to do with it?
Just,
she dealt with it already. Relax.
I ask every caller if they were molested, and about 1 out of 30 of them say yes, and that makes me cheat.
It's
a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm going to drop trowel right now, Drew. So someone molested you and screwed you up a little bit. Now you're a little wigged out with the fellas.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, it's called an implicit memory, Kayla. It leaves an imprint in the biological development of your brain when something like that happens to you. And unless you do something to correct that therapeutically, somebody really treats that, and it takes a long time, it's going to affect you profoundly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're 29, baby. You're not even kissing. Who molested you?
My brother.
Yeah.
I was adopted.
Oh. So it wasn't your blood brother.
Right.
How old were you?
By 3.
3?
Yeah.
And how long did this go on?
For a while.
How long?
Like, for like a couple of years.
Three years?
Yeah.
It's funny. I say I wrote 3 years down there.
That's interesting.
Before I got her to say 3 years. Was it 3 years?
Yeah, about that. Before you left the house.
Okay. Hey, Kayla?
Yeah.
I'm going to let you get back to whatever you were doing.
Okay.
All right, bye.
You got to get used to this show, Adam. You got to give them two swacks at the ball. First question, and then the same question over again.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean, don't expect that from all of our callers.
I don't. You know what I don't like? I don't mind the crazy. I don't mind the bogus. I don't mind anything. I don't like the distracted.
Yeah, you don't like the resistive either. So how long does this go on for? Oh, a good bit of time.
A while.
How long did it go for? A while.
A while.
How long did it go for?
Yeah, and, but then that's sort of like she was paying attention to something else. She was like,
I thought she might be like a multiple and sort of having other people respond or talk or.
No, no. There's like someone in the room. She was busy with something. Okay, listen, Kayla, I'm sorry for what your stepbrother did to you. This is a big, big issue for you, and it has nothing to do with kissing.
Right.
You need therapy, and when you're done with that, Drew?
More therapy.
There you go. Amanda?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah. So I've been with my boyfriend for like 3.5 years, and the last couple months, when he touches me, kind of grosses. It doesn't gross me out, but it just makes me uncomfortable.
Ooh.
And I was at the gynecologist. I don't know if she was doing a regular pap, and I was almost in tears. I don't know. I was, like, just so, I don't know, like, disturbed by it or something.
The what?
Disturbed by it.
Oh.
Well, what else going on? Have you been depressed? You been depressed generally?
I don't know. It runs in my family.
How's this relationship going?
It's good for most of the time. It's good.
With the gynecologist you're talking about?
No, with the boyfriend.
I see.
Well, do you think it's possible that your feelings maybe have changed about your boyfriend?
Possibly.
What's this have to do with the gynecologist?
I just think she's depressed.
Just depressed?
I mean, just was evocative, reminded her that she's sort of doesn't like her boyfriend touching her anymore. Just a little bit. Ugh.
But then she brought the gynecologist up right after that.
No, I understand, but that's what reminded her again. Geez, you know,
of him.
Yeah,
Amanda.
Yeah.
Any weirdness we need to know about in the past?
Like what? Like
rape, sexual abuse.
Somebody do something weird to you that this is all coming up now?
Oh no, no sexual abuse.
So everything's good.
Basically.
Besides the sort of depression.
I think she's depressed. Yeah. I think this relationship
probably
has changed.
Done with the guy.
Yeah.
How long have you been with him?
About 3.5 years.
Since she was 16 and a half.
Yeah. It's done, baby.
Yeah?
It's done.
Okay.
All right?
Okay,
you ain't into the guy anymore. That's fine. You're with him. You're in the, you know, 10th or 11th grade, you know?
Yeah.
It's been long enough.
It's painful when people kind of come to terms with that, and they usually don't really think it to themselves very honestly or consciously. Right, they're just the first. They don't want to have sex. Then it's they don't want to kiss. And then it's kind of weird around each other, and it's depressing.
Yeah, women shut down. They just sort of close up shop sexually, and it's sad too when the guy is oftentimes a decent guy and a nice guy
and clueless.
Clueless.
Yeah.
And he didn't do anything.
Now he's doubling down. Like, what?
He's panicking a little bit.
Well, what's going on here?
He's working a little bit harder. Remember that feeling, Drew?
And that's even worse for them, the women now. Now they're disgusted. Now you're disgusting to them.
Yeah, because
you're weak.
Yeah, because you called on a Wednesday and said, are we getting together this weekend? And they said, I'm not sure, and they hung up the phone. And you called back 10 minutes later and said, well, let's go over your calendar and really try to work it out. Now they're freaking on you. You know what I like to do, Drew? I like to go back in time and kill myself.
Just as punishment for how you behaved?
No, just because I should have killed myself on multiple occasions and never got around to it.
I see.
I'd like to do that now.
Now you have the courage to do it.
If I had a time machine, I'd go back to 1984 and kill myself. That'd be my plan. I'm going to work on that.
Okay.
You know what I like to do, too, with a time machine, which they never do? I like to go ahead 3 months. You know?
Yeah. Just know the stock market.
Yeah, I'd like to see the future, but not that much of it. Just, I'd move up to, like, Halloween.
Just see what you're going to wear?
Yeah, and then I would hop around to the holidays. I move a couple months at a time, you know? I go Halloween, then I go Thanksgiving, then I go to Christmas. You know? And then even from Christmas to New Year's, you know, I just hop ahead a week.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to write a movie about that.
What is going on here? I think I've been washing dishes.
Hello?
Cindy?
Yes.
Wait, are you working in a army supply store, army surplus store?
No, I'm doing the dishes.
Doing the dishes. Yeah. That cup sounded like a tin cup. It sounded like a camping cup.
I'll put away pots.
How stoned are you, baby?
No, not at all.
Wow.
I'm just really happy because I listened to you guys for like 3 years now. And yes, I want to tell that Mickey guy to shut the...
I like the way Cindy's just happy to hear from us.
Yeah.
She's really happy. Just hearing you guys makes me happy.
Hey, baby, I'm tickled pink to be talking to you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
<He's happy.
laughs> What's up, Niblets?
Well, it seems like I can't really enjoy sex that much.
Where's mom? Wait, where was your mom?
She is downstairs.
Mm-hmm. How about dad? Oof. Is he around?
Huh?
Your dad around?
Yes, he's also downstairs.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Doing dishes upstairs? Yeah.
Hmm?
Hold on a second.
You got the kid. No, they must be in the basement.
No. I just had been ran upstairs.
Oh, you took the phone from the sink and ran upstairs.
Well, I have my cell phone clipped onto my pants and my...
Right. Got it.
And then, like, I was doing the dishes, and then I had been ran upstairs, and I heard you guys were talking to me.
Okay, baby.
Well, she got happy.
So, you have a boyfriend?
Yes.
And how long you two been going out?
For 3 months.
3 months. And you used to enjoy sex?
Like, well, the first, I know it's kind of, it seems kind of slutty because I had sex with three guys within, like, over a half a year. But, like, the first guy I had sex with, like, the first three times we've had sex, I liked it. And then from then on, like, even with him, I didn't like it. And then my second partner, I didn't like it. And then with the third partner, I don't like it. It's like...
The third partner is the boyfriend you're with now.
Yeah. Oh.
Is there anything about him that's troubling to you? Or what he does?
I really like him. He's like, I never like really felt for anybody the way I feel for him. And
is there anything about the being sexy that bothers you? Or is it spoiling in some way? Is there something about it?
No. Are you religious?
No. I always want to. Like, I'm like, yeah, let's get it on. But then, like, when we do, it's just like, it feels good for like a few seconds, and then it just doesn't really feel like anything.
So is it what the guys are doing that's the problem?
Yeah, I don't know. They try out different kinds of things.
Well, do they do a little oral sex on you?
Yes, I like that. But
do they do enough of that?
Yeah. But, I don't know, I was wondering if there's ever going to be a time when I'm going to start enjoying regular sex, ever.
Yeah.
I really?
When you're about 38.
Yeah.
Oh, that's when he's going to have to start taking Viagra and crap like that?
No, he'll be all right.
I'm 38. Let me explain something to everybody. You know how when you're 17, you're in high school, and you think people that graduated from high school 4 years ago are really old? They're not really that old. Yeah. And then you think people that are like in, you know, who graduated like 15 or 20 years ago are just ancient. Like it doesn't even exist. Think, Drew, I know this freaks you out, but think how far away you are now from when you graduated high school and how old the guys were when you graduated high school who are that distance away now. I know I screwed that up, but you know what I'm getting at.
I didn't know anybody that distance away.
But let's put it this way.
Let's put it this way. I remember looking. Okay.
You graduated what year?
I remember 76.
76.
And I remember looking at yearbooks at my high school of the early 60s and going, oh, my God.
Right.
Okay, so, 12 years prior.
You.
12 years prior.
I know.
That put it about 87.
So you.
Looking at my pictures.
You graduated 31 years ago. Yes?
No.
Is that true?
No.
Wait a minute, 76, 21, 20, oh, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm just passing out, 26 years ago, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So people graduated in like 1950. That's the same?
Yeah, basically immediately post-World War II.
Oh, man, are you old, buddy.
Think about that.
Hey, I got my 20th reunion coming up.
Uh-huh. I want to go.
Please.
Can I go with you?
You can go instead.
No. I want to see that. I want to witness. I want to behold this experience. I want to see these folks that I've been hearing about for years. I want to see you in your glory.
Triumphant
return to North Hollywood High.
I'm going in on. I'm going in on like a hoist, a pulley system.
Like Ozzy, a little sleigh.
Yeah, I'm going to be flying over the crowd, and I'm going in like it's a Backstreet Boys concert or something. I'm just going to be flying all the way, flying over the crowd, and then I'm going to land right on the stage. I'll collect my prize.
Pyrotechnic.
Pyrotronics.
Nice.
All right, so, hey, what the hell? Cindy, 17, she's in love with this guy, not enjoying sex.
At 17, the vast majority of women do not really like intercourse. They certainly can't have orgasm with intercourse. And so you may be sort of looking in all the wrong places kind of thing. Maybe the thing you need to do is sort of work it out with one guy you actually do care about and realize that guys don't know what they're doing at your age. You don't really know how to respond. And the biology you're in at that time isn't set up to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And about the best you can do is have an orgasm with oral sex.
Let me ask you this, Drew. Mm-hmm. Certain guys are better at certain things than other guys. I mean, some guys have a musical ear.
Uh-huh.
Some guys have a skill for language.
Mm.
Some have skill for basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys can dance. Other guys got two left feet.
Mm.
Sexually. You think it's about the same?
Why wouldn't it be? I would think so, but I find it curious. Women really never talk about that.
Yeah, but why wouldn't it be that way?
Is it that way with women?
Oh, who cares? They just need to be there.
Well,
they don't need to be there. I mean, they need to be there. They don't need to do anything.
So guys need to do something. They need to be able to...
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense that it's that way. I mean, what percentage of the male population are just sort of great natural dancers?
Uh-huh.
5% are, you know, solid dancers. The other 95 suck pretty good.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be that way with effing? If you really think about it? Or you do baseball, or you do basketball, or you do language or instruments. Wouldn't it be the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anderson wants to take a little break.
All right.
We're going to do that. When we come back, we're going to speak to Carlos, who's 22. Wants to know if his three new penis piercings could be causing his migraines after this.
Back in a minute.
I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Unwritten Law is coming in here tomorrow night. And we got Crystal Method in Linkin Park and Jack Osborne coming here at some point. Def Leppard's coming in here.
Interesting.
Yeah. Good times, everybody. All right, let's get back to those phones and help out the nation. Carlos?
Yeah.
You're 22. You got three new penis piercings?
Yeah.
I'm just kind of cluing in that language. Three. Already I have a migraine.
Yeah.
New. Suggesting that they're more old.
Well, it could be, but not necessarily. Did you have old penis piercings?
No, these are brand new. I got them last Monday.
Three in a row.
What's that?
Okay. I'm not used to people getting three at a time.
Yeah.
You got three in one sitting.
Yep.
What? And you couldn't have just put your Johnson in the garbage disposal? Save yourself a couple bucks?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what'd you get? Which ones?
They're called frenums. It's basically three bars perpendicular at the bottom of the shaft.
Where the balls attached to the shaft. The skin that attaches.
Oh, is that the frenulum
like
there?
The same thing as under your tongue.
Yeah, any time there's a web of skin, is that a frenulum?
Give me my music.
Oh, no.
I don't know. That's what I was told they were called.
You got the bars through the bottom of the penis?
Yeah.
Near
where
the testes.
It attaches to your sac.
No. Well, yeah, something like that. They're across, like, the urinary tract or whatever. They're towards the head, but underneath the sensitive spots, I guess. You know, I just kept them away from the head.
Ah, whatever.
Oh, Drew, it's not under the balls. It's through the penis.
It's through the skin, but not...
through the skin. It's not through the urinary tract.
Yeah, it's just underneath the skin, but above the urinary tract.
It's underneath the skin, but above the urinary tract?
He doesn't know the anatomy. Don't even.
Are these bars on top of the penis?
They're underneath.
Okay, hold on. If you have bars underneath your penis, and they're just through the skin, but above the urinary tract, what does that mean? Doesn't
not above.
Well, he's talking about the urethra, right?
He thinks he is.
True, please. No one can be a doctor but you.
No, here's the urethra tract here, right here.
Carlos.
See it coming through here? It is towards the...
Well, from my perspective, it's on top or on bottom. I can't explain it.
Okay, so, Drew, the urethra does not go down the center of the penis?
No.
It's toward the bottom?
Yes.
Mm. Okay. All right, anyway, Carlos, what's wrong with you?
Well, here's the deal. Monday... You know, I got the piercings, you know, whatnot, and then like about the next day, I masturbated, nothing was wrong, right? 3 days after that, I do it one more time, and I get this pulsing, massive migraine, like I can barely stand up.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know of piercings causing migraine, but, geez, if little tiny acupuncture needles can reduce pain of surgery, why couldn't a barbell through your penis cause a headache?
Yeah, that's one of your few valid points, Drew. Hey, Carlos?
Yeah?
What's wrong with your mind, though? Not your head, your mind.
Your soul.
Yeah. What's up with you? Did someone molest you? What happened to you?
Who beat you?
Who scrambled you?
Who beat you?
Somebody scrambled you. What happened?
I don't know, man. I'm kind of jacked up, but I don't think I can pinpoint it on anything. So.
Okay, well, stop with the crazy piercing, would you? That's not going to cure you.
Well, I wasn't looking to cure anything. I don't know. I just want to get rid of the headaches, man. They're, like, ridiculously painful.
Okay. Well, Drew, what should he do? See which doctor?
Yeah, you can choose the general doctor and see if you get an evaluation for what's going on here. I don't think it has anything to do with the piercings.
Okay.
I'm just looking at how complex this anatomy is and thinking, Jesus Christ, these guys are sticking spears through this area.
Not only are these guys doing it, but the guys who are doing it...
And then these are the guys that would go to the acupuncturist and expect, like, tremendous amounts of relief.
No, these are the guys who don't trust the man.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Oriental man is okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oriental medicine.
Oh, sure. They're geniuses over there. What with that rhino horn and, you know, the bear pancreas. Yeah, they're geniuses. Geniuses. And when it comes to the field of medicine, genius. That's why they die 15 years younger than we do.
Stay with the piercing, yeah.
Genius. Katie?
Yeah?
You're 17.
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Okay, well, I want to know the good and the bad things about getting your tongue pierced.
Oh, piercings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can, like, swell up and occlude your airway, right, Drew?
Right, get infected and be a big mess.
Mm-hmm.
And bleed and be a big mess.
But it's good for the oral.
It's real common enough for people to get their teeth chipped up.
It's interesting. You know what else happens, too, is people...
Well, here.
Ooh. There you are.
Oh, there's my... Let me say this about everybody. And I don't know what other people's personal thoughts are on this, but I look at it as a personal affront to me. Now, here's the thing. Now, when guys see that on your tongue, it means you're open for business. So that's a good thing.
That's all it means to guys.
Boyfriend, so.
Yeah, but that's what it means. That's what you're projecting to guys. I like to have sex. I want to have sex. That's what guys interpret when they see a tongue piercing, right?
Yes. Yeah, you're not going to have the boyfriend forever. But let me float something to everybody and tell me what you think. And maybe I'm just sounding like an 8-year-old guy here, but... You know, you're talking to somebody once in a while, and they got themselves a tongue piercing, and they're clicking it on their tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking to them, you can hear that little click, click, click.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize this is something they do to start to stay busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they click, click, click. They're doing it on purpose. It's a little nervous tick or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you start thinking about it, and you think, now all of a sudden, you can't help but think, geez, I wonder if that hurt, putting that barbell through their tongue.
How about the people that go like this and then bite on it? I might skin crawl. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
They push it out through their teeth and then bite down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then back and forth. Click, 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 click.
Right.
Like on a fence.
Here's my point. I then start thinking about it, and then I think, huh, wonder what it'd feel like. And, oh, man, that must have hurt. And the next thing you know, I feel the spear going through my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get angry at the person and thought, why are you foisting your ass on me? It's the same way I think about you faggoty guys out there with your nipple rings. You walk around the concert with your shirt off and these bars going through your nipples. And now I'm looking at your goddamn nipples thinking, I wonder what that feels like. Why? Why do I got to go through that? You can't keep your goddamn shirts on.
Do you skip the cringe step? You look at it and go, ugh, oh my God.
I'm just saying, why do I gotta go through your ass, everybody? There's some old F who jogs up my canyon every day. The guy's 70, never wears an effing shirt.
And with piercing?
No, he's a 70-year-old dude. I'm looking at his nipples with the gray hair growing over it and thinking to myself, hey, you F, put your shirt on. Do I got to deal with you? You know what I mean? I'm walking into the market, and here this guy's walking out with his water bottle. I'm looking at his old gray nipples. Do you know what I mean? Can everyone just shut up with this nonsense? It's sort of like you pull up next to some retard, and his bass is booming so loud that your window's shaking. Really? That's all right with everybody? I got to stare at your nipples. I got to hear the reverb off your bass. I got to look at your gray chest hair blowing in the wind.
Stare at the piercing. How about that?
I find it disturbing.
Yeah.
So everyone stop everything. I really mean it. If you got your tongue pierced, fine. But when we're talking, don't bang your metal thing against your tooth. I feel it in my teeth. It's bothersome to me.
But isn't that how people sort of tell their stories of woe if they don't have other ways to do it? They project it and we receive it. And that's how they communicate with us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's how undeveloped people do it. That's how angry people do it.
I know. It's like, look, I understand if you were burnt in a fire or you got your arm caught in a tree chipper or something like that. But when you just put the barbells through your nose and I got to sit there and talk to you and picture the guy shoving the barbell through your nose, it hurts my nose. Oh, thank God I don't know any of those freaks. I hate all
that.
Really,
that must be the intent, though, right?
I look at it as the intent, yes, and that's why I hate all you idiots. I would kill any one of my pussy friends who got any of that poser crap done to them. It's so weak, so pathetic. I just find it pathetic. Matt, you're 19.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend about 2 years ago, and I just felt, we broke up. We were together for about a month. And we broke up, and she got with somebody else, and she just told me about last week that she got raped by that guy. I was wondering what I'm supposed to do.
You're broken up?
Yeah, we were broken up and everything, and she's still a really good friend to me.
Wait a minute. You are broken up?
We are broken up.
All right, so when you say we were broken up.
Oh, yeah, we are broken up, yeah.
Okay.
And the boyfriend after me raped her, and she just told me he raped her.
Were they living together?
No, they weren't living together.
And were they having sex?
No. The only time they had sex is when he raped her.
All right. Remember we were just talking about how people project stuff onto one another?
Mm-hmm.
So what's she's trying to get something out of you.
Well, maybe she's just confiding in him.
No.
Why not?
The ex going to the ex-boyfriend and getting him all whipped up about her current boyfriend and telling him she raped me and she's trying to get you to go do something to him or to come to her aid or do something to create some chaos.
No, I actually, I asked what happened to that guy because she's with a different guy now. I asked what happened to the guy. She goes, I don't want to talk about it. So I asked her, why not? And then she told me about it.
I see.
So she wasn't coming to me and
all
she
right.
told me.
All right, okay.
All right, so how long ago was this?
This happened probably like a year ago. Okay. I don't know if anybody could do anything about it.
Well,
I don't know. She says she's too afraid to do anything about it. So should I confront somebody about it, like call somebody on it, or?
The only thing, you should do nothing except support her. And if she wants to do something constructive, she can go file a report, even though nothing will come of it. If he does something else, or when he does something else, there'll be something there to sort of support or corroborate the next report. That he has a history, a track record of this kind of thing. But yeah, it'd be impossible for her to get any proof on this one.
Matt, are you still into her?
No, I'm not. I have a girlfriend. I've been with her for a year and a half. So
I'm not even into her at all.
See, Adam's a little bewildered. You're communicating with an ex-girlfriend. This is,
I just want to keep friends with her and everything like that.
What? Excuse me?
All right. Yeah, listen, do you have any old, you talk to any of your old girlfriends? Oh, your wife wouldn't let you do that. Drew,
That's too weird.
Your old lady doesn't. No,
I wouldn't want to. It's
your old lady doesn't let you go to the mall without putting like the horse blinders on you.
No,
right?
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh, you kidding? Are you kidding me? You couldn't do that.
Do what?
Whatever.
You could do that. Anything.
You can't do anything. But yeah, I know the ex thing is weird. The ex thing is a little weird. I mean, listen, I understand certain times people had a boyfriend or girlfriend early on and somehow they stayed in the circle of friends and years wore on and they just sort of became friends and now it's more like they're more of a friend that never, you know, when they die, it'll be said that they were friends, not boyfriend and girlfriend once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I don't think I talk to any of my ex-girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like they don't talk to me. They're embarrassed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They get freaked out.
You blame them?
Yeah. I know, it's weird. It's weird with, like, me. Like, I'm happy. You know what I mean? Any ex-girlfriend of mine? I'm like, hey, good. I had sex with her. But they're freaked out. They're like, they get the heebie-jeebies, you know, they shiver. I love when women do that. I can't believe I slept with him. Oh, God. Yep. That's what they're all like. All right, let's take ourselves a little breakthrough. When we come back, I'll speak to Sarah. Her vagina smells terrible. Guys complain.
Hmm.
Doctor said it's normal after this.
Back in a minute.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Drew and I just had an interesting revelation, which is we both realized we didn't know the names of our grandparents, first names.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I know my grandmother. I only know my grandmother.
It kind of makes sense because you don't grow up around them. You don't never knew them.
Yeah.
You might have been told the names, but just they don't stick.
Still, shouldn't you know the name of your grandparents, their first name? I mean, I know my grandmother, but I know my step-grandfather, but I don't know my real one, and I don't know my other real one. They're both dead before I was born.
Yeah.
But still, I could know their first name, couldn't I? Think so. And I can't remember the name of my one from Philadelphia either. Boy, that's horrible.
Is it something about...
Yeah. Well, you know, I know it's Grammy. Sarah?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
You know the names of all four of your grandparents?
Yeah, I think so.
You do?
Yeah.
Seems like the guys are the ones whose names you don't know as much.
Also, the male children don't pay attention to that stuff.
What are your two grandfathers' names?
Junior and... Well, I got a step-grandpa, and his name is Odell.
Uh-huh. And, so you don't know either?
No.
All right. Maybe it's just normal.
Junior. Junior, that's probably not his Christian first name. That's probably something, you know? He's a junior something?
It's James.
Oh, there you go. All right, Sarah, what's up?
Well, first off, you guys are cool.
Great.
I like listening to your show. And second of all, hey, dude, you're really harsh about piercings, man.
Yeah, man.
And, okay, my
What did we say that was harsh?
I don't like piercers.
But you mean about don't
project
yourself?
I just wanted to stop it.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want to see it. Just
I see.
Listen, you girls just pierce your hood. Guys, pierce your dork and leave me alone. I don't want to see it. I don't like all that weird face stuff. I stare at it.
Why don't they pierce their mouth shut?
Yeah, pierce your mouth shut. Thank you, Anderson. All right, go ahead, Sarah.
Okay, well, my question is...
That was a classic Anderson remark. Classic Anderson right there. What's that, Sarah? I'm sorry.
I have a really bad smell down there, and I've done things, you know, to cover it up and stuff like that.
What have you done?
You know, really washed it and things like that.
Have you done douching?
Yeah.
Did that work?
It does for like a couple days, and that's about it.
And then your normal smell comes back. That's you.
Yeah, but it ever, like... when guys go down there, they're like, ew, nasty, you know?
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they think it stinks really bad.
Wait a minute, they really voice that,
they
though?
They recoil and stand up and yell nasty?
They'll, like, do it for a few minutes, and then they're like, okay, I can't do that anymore, or whatever, and just...
Do they say why, or are they just getting tired?
Most of the time, it's because it stinks.
They've said that.
Yeah.
See, I think women have a fantasy that they're very uncomfortable when they have guys do this. And they see any lack of enthusiasm as a sign that there's something wrong with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. People do this all the time. I mean, people do this all the time in the sense that somebody says, you know, leave the class. You're making too much noise, and they think the person said they were stupid and fat.
Right.
Because they think of themselves as stupid and fat.
Right.
And you think of yourself as smelling. So if a guy goes down on you for 5 minutes and then pops up and says, all right, let's move on, you think it's because you smell when he wants to just have sex. But does he actually say, hey, it smells?
I can't take it anymore?
Yeah, I've been told that before.
Those words.
Good times. Yeah. Good times. All right. Well, you got a little something going on down there. And you're dating very honest, forthright men.
Yeah.
These are keepers, these guys.
Well, yeah. And you saw a doctor about this, right?
Yeah, and they told everyone that I've ever went to, they're like, that's normal. And, you know, and I'm like, okay.
All right, well, you get a couple days out of the douche, right?
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to do too much of that. Did anybody try to give you any antibiotic creams?
No.
You might ask a doctor for that. Just see if you can maybe do a course of that, see if that helps. And other than that, that is you.
Yeah, but you also know that if you got a hot date coming up, you can do yourself a little douche job, and you're in good shape.
Douche nozzle.
A little douche nozzle. Bianca?
Yes.
You're 26?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, it's a little bit complicated. About a month ago, first of all, I haven't done drugs or anything since high school, and a friend of mine had a going away party like a month ago, and I did ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt fine and everything afterwards. And then 2 weeks later, I take ephedrine, or took, on a pretty regular basis as an appetite suppressant.
Yeah.
And this one day, I took the ones I usually take, and a girl I work with gave me one of hers, and it was way more than my body could handle. And I had a total panic attack that lasted for about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I've been having them every day.
Yeah, that's the way panic tends to be. It's like a circuit opens up, and once it's established, that's it. That's panic time.
Uh-huh.
And there you go. Now you got panic attacks. And that's what happens from doing stimulants, unfortunately. Both MDMA, the ecstasy, and ephedra, and speed, they all tend to move towards panic attacks in some mm-hmm. individuals.
So what should she do?
Well, I've been to a doctor, mm-hmm. and they tried to put me on lorazepam.
Yeah, but you're an addict. You have alcohols in your family, right? Yeah.
I don't know, actually.
Well, you're behaving like an addict who's getting going here. And if you get on lorazepam, you're going to get hooked on that. You should avoid benzodiazepine medication and take things like the serotonin reuptake inhibiting medications.
Would that be like Celexa? Because
Celexa,
you tried that on me too.
Yeah, Celexa, Paxil, Cerazone. These things might be of use. But you need to stay away from the benzos because you're going to get addicted to those.
Okay.
So go with the Celexa, baby.
Well, it gave me tremors really badly. So.
Okay, well, there's a lot of other in that category to choose.
Speaking of tremors, aren't we overdue for a nice quake?
And funny, how bizarre you would say that. I was having a conversation with a guy just this evening about that.
Really?
Yeah.
We don't talk about that too much.
Yeah, he was talking about how the real estate market is one earthquake away from really falling apart here. Real estate market.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. And we were saying, it's been 10 years, more than 10 years since a really big one.
No, it has been more than 10.
92, was it?
Oh, I thought it was 94.
94.
94, really? So 8 years.
94.
Ago. It seems like about every 10 we get a good one.
Yeah. That was a great, great time, that 94. Girlfriend's apartment was totaled. Her work was totaled. Her car broke down in front of my house.
Oh, yeah.
I had to live with her in my crappy room for a month until she got her work back and her car back. And her mom was like, her horrible, horrible mom was like on transit. She was en route from Minnesota when the earthquake hit. And when she got out to where we were, that was great. There's an ant crawling on my cup. When she got out to L.A., she had to stay with me.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Bad times for her.
Oh, man, did we get into it. We actually verbally got into it.
Wow.
She started, like, yelling at me and stuff. I got sick. Oh, it was horrible. It was horrible. I mean, I knew this chick for, like, 2 months.
Oh, my God.
And she was living with me, with her mom, and my 2 male roommates.
Oh, my God.
One of whom is Ralph on the Kevin and Bean show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I want to kill myself. Their car was broken. Oh, oh. I'll tell you, if I had a time machine, I'd go back and kill myself. All right. So, anyway, we're overdue for a nice earthquake.
That's great.
We look forward to that. All right, everybody, that's the show. God bless you. Unwritten Law in here tomorrow night. Yeah, good times. All right, Drew, I'm going to see you about 7:38 in the morning tomorrow.
Yeah, good times.
Good times. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Now, listen.
Hey, it's the
Listen.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.